Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. If you're on YouTube, be sure to hit the subscribe button, little notify bell next to it. And of course, if you're on a podcast app, leave us a rating or a review. It really, really helps the show. And speaking of apps, oh my goodness, we want to say thank you to today's sponsor of Going In Raw, the Wrestling Amino app.
Yeah, Amino is an app that powers over a million different communities, at least one for every interest in the world, and they have one for wrestling fanatics.
Yeah, it's a great way to keep up to date on all the wrestling news from promotions around the world and engage with other wrestling fans with message boards, featured posts, chat rooms, and individual profiles.
And of course, Going In Raw is on the Amino app. We posted our Elimination Chamber review on our profile page. Be sure to check it out. Follow us and let us know what you think.
Yeah, thanks again to Wrestling Amino app for sponsoring Going In Raw. You can check it out for free on iOS or Android using the links in the description. One more thing to mention, we have a t-shirt sale also.
We do.
We have a shirt today, a shirt sale at prowrestlingtees.com/going in raw. We got like a ton of shirts. Oh, wait, I think I have a thing. No, that's not in this one. You're doing this one. This is not.
I have one of my shirts.
Different shirt. Anyways.
Our shirts. Fun Wrestling.
Yeah.
Top Fun Seller. Wrestling.
No, Top Seller.
It's one of the top sellers.
This is the Baron Corbin
Slow Wolf
shirt.
You know, since we started the sale, I've noticed there's been a couple top-notch Super Best shirts that have been sold. I think that makes 5 in total so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Wait, which one?
The top-notch Super Best shirt I made.
Oh, really? There's been 5?
Well, total. I mean, since I created the design and uploaded it, but I think there have been 2 that have been sold since the sale started.
Oh, really? That's weird.
That's great, though.
We got to bring him back.
We'll see about that. We'll see what
happens. Anyways. Man, I loved Raw last night. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
That was very good.
It was fun.
I forgot to bring up my notes.
I have notes.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, I thought it was really fun. I thought there was, you know, obviously the big thing, Brock Lesnar. Did he actually no-show last night? Nobody seems to know.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation on wrestling internets about whether he was a no-show, whether this is all a work, whether there's elements of work and shoot, whether Brock no-showed for whatever reason, and they turned that into storyline. Which makes me think it's all a work. They want to get conversation going. They want to make the internet choose between two people they really maybe don't care for terribly, and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
They're going to portray Brock Lesnar not too dissimilarly than the John Cena portrayed The Rock back, I think, in the lead up to their first Mania match, where he's saying he didn't care about WWE. He's just an egotistical jerk, only care about himself. And then you have Roman Reigns there, who's the hardworking guy who shows up every night, does his job, busts his tail, leader in the locker room, does everything he can for the benefit of the company.
Yeah.
But the fans, you know, generally don't like him.
Yeah, so apparently he was booed a bit during the dark match last night. However, that promo was killer.
It was really good.
I really loved the promo. To the point where I was like thinking to myself, man, I should really ease up on Roman Reigns because I really like that promo. And damn it, he has a point. Damn it, he is there all the time. And damn it, he's been doing this for a long time.
He works hard.
And he works really hard.
And from what we've told, he is a leader in the locker room.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
From what we've heard, he's kind of taken over the Undertaker role where, you know, he's the guy that people go to and he's the guy that kind of dishes out whatever backstage, you know, like kind of justice needs to be done. You know, there's problems backstage. Reigns is the guy who takes care of it.
Yeah. So I thought it was...
It was Reigns, this guy that kicked Enzo off the bus.
I know, and you have to appreciate that. So this is what PW Insider, Mike Johnson from PW Insider, has about the entire thing. So, of course, last night's Monday Night Raw was scheduled to feature Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman going face-to-face with Roman Reigns. It was supposed to be the first... Oh, damn it.
I like that apparently...
There scripted back and forth is what they were going to say.
That creative apparently saw our last episode of Matt Chat and said, oh, these guys have... Or Larson has some good points about Lesnar. Let's just use all that
Roman's
promo.
That's exactly... And the John Cena thing, too.
Yeah.
Let's see here. WWE sources have confirmed that the script for last night's Raw was to feature a lengthy back and forth promo segment featuring all three right down to, according to one source, Lesnar calling Reigns a bitch. The segment was slated for the second hour of Raw, so that was all like normal. Instead, Roman Reigns was alone, cutting a promo. We saw all that. According to several sources who worked the Raw taping, there was no sign of Brock Lesnar or Paul Heyman, to the best of their knowledge, at any point yesterday in Anaheim. Lesnar is known to stay to himself in a private dressing area, so that's not really surprising if nobody saw him. Heyman, however, is usually very social. We've heard about that, how he'll make himself available for people if they want to come ask him advice. Neither was seen by anyone we've spoken to. It appears neither was ever there. Of course, Dana White posted a picture of himself with...
On Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, on Sunday.
And Reigns mentioned his promo that Lesnar was in Vegas on Sunday, you know, which is where Elimination Chamber was, but at no point made an appearance.
Yeah, so PW Insider here sort of wraps it up by saying it could very well be that Lesnar opted not to come to Raw as part of hardline negotiating taxes with WWE, or it could be that WWE was upset about the Dana White photo and told Lesnar not to come to the taping. I would love to think that this was a big work.
Oh yeah, I feel like it is.
I hate to think that Lesnar, who's making so much money off of a really part-time schedule, if it's a work, it's a very smart one.
Yes.
Because I think that Roman Reigns appealing to people saying, look, dude, he's never here, and I am. Think of me what you will, but I'm actually the guy here. The same way they did with Cena and The Rock.
Exactly.
And it worked really well.
Yeah.
I was totally on board with Cena.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to boo The Rock. But I thought that was really effectively done, and I thought that what we saw from Roman Reigns was one of his best promos ever.
Oh, yeah, easily. And it wasn't just the content of the promo. It was the delivery as well.
Yeah.
It seemed impassioned. It seemed genuine.
So there was also something, and I forget where this came from, but that said I read something on internet that the bit that he said about being born into the business and his family line is the business was not part of the written aspect of the promo, because apparently it was, maybe it was written last moment or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd read there were some really last minute rewrites on the show.
Yeah.
But again, that can just feed into the story of Brock no showing.
Yeah. But I don't know. I thought it was very, very effective. I was really into it, but let's go ahead and start.
And it seemed by the end of his promo, the crowd, I want to say it was behind him, but he got some good cheers for it.
I thought the crowd popped for it. I thought they, like when he said, I'm definitely not scared of that bitch. I thought the crowd totally popped for it. When he said he's an entitled piece of crap who hides behind his contract, they popped for that. Those are all great lines.
Yeah.
And he delivered them great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be at this point with him the Pavlovian response that most crowds have towards him, which is just a boo.
Yeah.
But if they build this out for the next 2 months.
6 weeks, yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 6 weeks. It could be an effective way to get people on Roman Reigns' side.
Mm-hmm.
Let's for a moment speculate. If this is Brock negotiating with WWE, it's a terrible idea.
Well, I guess it's what he did last time.
Yeah, I know. But last time he was still, I'm not sure. I haven't looked up. I just saw some like really brief headline or maybe it was Meltzer or something saying that he isn't really the draw that he used to be.
Yeah. Well, I think now with WWE building up Braun to be the new beast, I mean, you keep Lesnar around because he's got a little bit of mainstream appeal and he's got the legitimacy of being a former UFC champ.
Yeah.
But if he's more trouble than he's worth, there's plenty of talent there to take that spot, especially if the signing of Bobby Lashley is true.
I know. I mean, at this point, it is the kind of thing where I'd like to think that they would look to the Attitude Era when you didn't really have part-timers.
No.
You were building the company on the back of the people who are there all the time.
Yep.
And it was fantastic. It was a great time.
Yeah.
And I really wish that they would do that now. I mean, you said it. You did say it exactly correct. On Matt Chat, sometimes we have to argue for things that aren't like necessary. We don't fully believe. I've had some times on the show where I've been completely over Brock Lesnar. I'm still completely over Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, here's the bottom line. If the numbers say he's a draw, then it would be silly for them not to keep him around. If the numbers
at the right price point.
Right. Well, yeah, obviously. If the numbers aren't there to justify the big paycheck, then there's no reason why he should be around, because you're right. It's kind of irritating.
He really adds nothing to the programming.
If he was a big four pay-per-view guy who didn't tie up the storylines that have to do with the Universal, there's too much good top level talent.
I know.
For that Universal title to be gone all the time.
I know.
It's just silly. I don't know. I don't think it really helps the product.
Yeah, I've always been kind of, especially having part-time talent involved in the title picture. I've always been very pessimistic about it when you said there's so much top-flight talent already there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you always run into the problem where you're not investing the time and resources into building the talent you have now on the roster full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the part-timers leave, you know, you're not creating huge enough stars, maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, WrestleMania sells itself. You don't really worry about that.
Right.
But, you know, all your other shows, you got to have top-flight talent there. You got to invest time in building them. And I think they've done a great job so far with Braun. Braun's there. They've done a great job with Elias.
Yeah.
He's getting there.
Well, the
plus,
thing,
you have Seth. You have Dean. You have Roman. You have AJ. You have Kevin Owens. You have Sami Zayn. You have Nakamura. And plus, you have Aleister Black, Drew McIntyre down in NXT right now, who could, when they come to the main roster, they're going to be massive.
Yeah.
There's so much good talent that they should have been for years concentrating on building those guys into future stars, future mega stars that could be, you know, if they want to, part-timers in 10 and 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how many of those guys they've built effectively for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, if who right now could be, granted, no one's going to be John Cena in 10, 15 years. You know, he's a once-in-a-generation type guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, like in 10 or 15 years, who can be the Brock Lesnar that there is today? Braun, maybe? But well, he still needs to put in some more time in the company before he's established as that sort of force.
The thing is, I mean, the question that you really want to ask isn't who can be the next Brock, because there isn't going to be. Brock is such a unique figure.
He's a singular figure, yes.
The fact that he was able to go to, here's, I mean, this is the thing. The fact that he was able to go to MMA and legitimately win the heavyweight title, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yes.
He's able to bring in the mainstream credibility. He brings in the credibility from actually having done real stuff into the land of, you know, simulated fighting. And that's the big appeal with Brock Lesnar. He's a singular figure. The question you really want to ask is who could be like, and I don't think, here's the thing. You say 10, 15 years from now, who's going to be the next Cena? And there isn't one. I don't agree with that. I think that there totally could be another guy like that. I honestly think that Braun Strowman, given what we've seen with his charisma, his the ability he has to stretch his character, his you know, when he does the silly elf stuff, you know, that dude would be killer on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
I think that you know we don't want another John Cena. There's one John Cena, you're right about that, but in terms of that guy 10 years before that being Stone Cold, as being like super charismatic, big draw. And when I talk about draw, a guy who, you know, 1 week the ratings are down, he shows up, the ratings go up.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to see tonight on SmackDown, the ratings are going to go up because John Cena's there.
Yeah, probably.
And that's a draw. Brock Lesnar, for a period, was a draw in that respect. Attendance figures go up, more money comes in. That's the definition of a draw. Can they get Braun to that level? I think they can if they book him correctly. Is there going to be another Brock? I mean, unless there's somebody, I really doubt it, because Brock is a singular figure.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about, for Brock, the legitimacy aspect. I'm talking about a guy who wrestles, leaves for a while, regardless of what he does while he's away.
Oh, sure.
Comes back and still generates a huge amount of buzz.
Yeah.
And without investing time in the current crop of talent and building them into stars in their own right now,
mm-hmm.
in 10 or 15 years, they're not going to have those type of part-timers to fall back on in their mind because they think they need to pop ratings, pop pay-per-view buys, whatever.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I mean, the bottom line is they need to build
the talent they have now.
And they have such a great crop of talent. It is a shame that sometimes it does feel like they sort of sacrifice the talent they have for, you know, Goldberg and Lesnar. I mean, you were all over.
I thought it should have been Owens and Jericho for the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't think Goldberg and Brock needed that belt the second time around.
Yeah.
I didn't think it did. I think Brock losing the way he did added enough heat to that feud, didn't need the title.
Yeah. Anyways, let's kick off the beginning of the show. Alexa Bliss came out, dropped a great promo. She had Mickie James with her. Apparently, Mickie James is now heel with Alexa Bliss. I was okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a ton of sense, but it's fine.
It's movement, man. You know, I mean, there was never really... Alexa Bliss is building her army to face Asuka.
Yeah.
You know, and she's taking these steps.
I just felt like Mickie James was too easily wooed.
Well, you know, you got to know. She's a veteran. You got to, you know, people like that, they know where the winds are blowing, man.
All right.
I was fine with it. I don't think every move has to be spelled out. I don't think every move has to be spelled out.
But I don't really see Mickey's motivation. But anyways, it's not a huge point.
All right.
I won't belabor the point.
So she drops a great promo saying that, you know, she's going to beat Asuka, basically. Which, of course, brings out Asuka.
Asuka.
I like that they didn't give her the extended
intro.
Oh,
yeah. She would just want to go out there and kick some butt.
It just kicked into it. She comes out there. Alexa, this was kind of interesting. There was some differing opinions on it. I actually was okay with it. She brings up, she says, I know you don't know English very well thing. My thing about that, it's kind of a lot of people were talking about Asuka's promo last week or the week before where, you know, her English isn't great. I personally, and I know you feel the same way. I actually like that. I think that when English isn't somebody's first language and they're speaking like Shinsuke Nakamura, another great example, it naturally adds to the mystique of the character.
Yeah.
Because if you're not speaking the language that we all know, it's like, oh, you are from another place. And that adds to somebody's mystique. Alexa was taking the side as the heel of the idiot fan who says, oh, you don't know English. Why are you dropping promos? So I thought it was fine for her to do that. Some people had problems with
that. No, I understand that perspective where you talked about that, you know, she as a heel was generating heat. She took the approach that all those jerks did last week, given Asuka some static about her promo. So in that sense, yeah.
Yeah. And then she ate a kick to the face.
Yeah.
So then Alexa Bliss calls out Nia Jax. Nia Jax come down. And Alexa Bliss eats a kick to the face. Mickey James does too. She was not able to pivot in time for Nia Jax to attack her. Nia Jax got the upper hand. That led to Bayley and Sasha Banks running down to make the save. Go to commercial, come back. We're in a six-woman tag match.
Yes.
Yeah. That had some interesting stuff happening that I actually really liked. I really liked this episode of Raw. It was good.
I think the major story beat was Sasha tagging herself in early in the match. Mm-hmm. She was in the match a good stretch. And then she goes to Bayley looking for a hot tag. Bayley extends her hand right as a tag is about to be made. Bayley hops off the apron, walks up the ramp a little bit.
I loved it. I loved the look on her face. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. I thought that the look on Sasha's face. This is the Bayley that I kind of want to see. The one who she's not going to be, you know, she's a positive person, but you're not going to kick her around. And even her best friend or former best friend now or whatever, you know, you're talking crap and you're acting like you're a jerk. Fine. I'm going to act like a jerk too. I can do that. I'm not going to like doing it. And that's what her face said.
Yep.
Is I don't like doing this, but I kind of feel like I have to because I'm not going to get kicked around by you or anybody else.
For weeks, you've been treating me like crap.
Like doggy doo-doo.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she walks out, and then she does eventually make the say, or she does eventually make the tag to Asuka, who comes in, wrecks everybody.
Yeah. And Mickey James eventually taps to the armbar from Asuka.
Well, she had an armbar, and she had like her
knee bar thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was
but
great.
Bayley got back in the ring to help out Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if Bayley turned heel. She just didn't want to help out Sasha at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was I like that, man. They're building up Sasha versus Bayley.
Yeah, we're getting that at Mania, man.
For Mania, that's great.
Are we gonna have like 15 matches on the card at Mania?
Hey, and you know what? Half of them so far seem like they're gonna be stellar wrestling matches.
I know.
Like, dude, are you kidding?
Well, the problem is if they have all these matches and they give them each 8 minutes.
Hey, we saw what Shinsuke and John Cena could do with 7 minutes, and I was totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not everything has to be a 30-minute, you know,
no, I'm
Gargano
not saying that, but at least give us 12 to 15 for these matches that we know are going to be quality wrestling contests.
And I'm not, no, I don't want to hear anybody complaining about 5 matches being on the kickoff show. It's on the show, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bummer, though. They don't get the royalties from the DVD, though. Why don't they just have the pre-show on the DVD? Have one disc, the entire event, have another disc with like the pre-show stuff and some bonus features.
I don't know. It boggles my mind too. Let everybody get.
You can
royalties.
Add $5 to the price of it.
I know, man. I don't get it.
Who the hell buys DVDs anyway? I know. I thought I read somewhere that WWE was going to stop making Blu-rays, but I guess they're going to make DVDs still.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
All right. Let's see here. Next, we had a John Cena promo. John Cena
came out and said, I don't have a road to WrestleMania, but I'm not here to feel sorry for myself. I gave myself 5 minutes to do that. But then when I get down, I get knocked down, I get back up. Earn it.
My whole life has been built on failure. Actually, John, you've had quite a lot of success.
Yeah, a lot of success.
Like, I mean,
it's been pretty much
I dare
for
say,
the most
John,
part,
you've
nonstop
had
success for the last 15 years.
John, I dare say you've had the most success.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then with like with a fiery voice, he says, what I should do is come down here and challenge you.
Yeah. I was like, why? You were down in the doldrums. You were in the pits. And then that dawned on you. Like, if you really want to match with The Undertaker, you could have done it at any time.
Yeah. You know what I love about that, though, is that he's referencing the fact last year he said the exact same thing to The Miz.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, if I really wanted to, I could come out there. Or what did he say?
He said that was the match he really wanted was against The Undertaker.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I'd come out here and I'd point at the sign, I'd call out The Undertaker.
But he did that, and he said, I want The Undertaker. The crowd goes crazy, and he goes, and that's not going to happen.
Boo! Everybody's booing.
Because he says, management, people backstage are telling me it's not going to happen.
Hey, guess what? That match is still happening.
Probably, yeah.
That's still going to happen.
John has to exhaust every avenue to get into some sort of title match at Mania.
Exactly.
And then the Taker will take a bump out of his challenge or something.
Exactly. I think it'll be great. So he said, I'm going to show up on SmackDown tonight. So tune in, everybody, because we need ratings on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And John Cena is going to be there. I'm a pretty big deal.
Do, 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 do.
My life has been built on nothing but success. All the success.
Well, I guess he has failed, what, 16 times of retaining his title.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. But, yeah, anyways, he's going to be on SmackDown. I thought it was a good promo, man.
Yeah. What do you think? Is he going to try to insert himself in the title match at Fastlane or take on Nakamura?
It has to be. Well, my only thing is this. What you just said could make sense, but Nakamura, he's...
Oh, I know. He, has
he
nothing
doesn't
to do
have anything to do with Fastlane, so that makes all the sense
and
in the world.
I just hope they don't do some crap thing where Cena challenges him to put up his opportunity at Mania. Like, if it's a match between him and Nakamura, then make it so Cena gets it into the match with AJ and Nakamura, make a triple threat thing. Because I don't care what carrot John Cena dangles to entice Nakamura to give it, put up his title shot. I can't think of anything that's going to justify it or make it worthwhile for Nakamura. Like, is Cena going to write Nakamura a check for $5 million or something like that?
I'm not a fan of anybody giving up a guaranteed
exactly.
shot.
Like, what's valuable enough to entice Nakamura to give up his title shot? I can't think of anything.
I don't know.
Anything. In kayfabe, that would make it worthwhile.
Yeah. I know. I agree. But, man, if we get Nakamura Cena at Fastlane, holy crap.
Oh, that'd be a good match, yeah.
I mean, I think it'd probably be it would make more sense if he said, hey, I want to buy my way into – I want to fight my way into that match. You and I put on a stellar match. Imagine what the three of us can do. But I don't want to just walk in there. I want to beat you first to show that
I belong. Well, he said that last night, that he wants to earn an opportunity.
He wants to earn his spot.
Which, you know, he'll show up on SmackDown and say, hey, I want to do this. And that's, I guess, his idea of – earning.
I know, exactly.
He says, I want a shot to get in this
it's
match.
Like, John, the very fact that you can go to SmackDown and try to find a new road to WrestleMania, you know, I don't know. I like it, though. I do like that that's a story for him.
Yeah.
Because, like we said before, it's something for him to work
it's
with.
Better than him getting announced to be at Survivor Series on Twitter.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was fine with that. That was a good promo. Raw just more and more feel every single week these days. It feels more and more like the A show.
Yeah.
You know, it just continually feels bigger and more marquee.
Yeah, it does.
Than anything else. I mean, look at how it ended with freaking Ronda Rousey. And I thought that was a great segment.
Yeah. Next, Bray Wyatt has a match against Heath Slater. However, it never begins.
Call it that.
It never starts. Because Bray immediately goes after Rhino, lays out Slater, gives him a sister Abigail. Bell never rings. While they're doing a replay, Wyatt lays out Rhino with his sister Abigail. Bray drops a promo saying he ain't done with Matt Hardy.
Yep.
And then Matt Hardy went on Twitter and said and alluded to the ultimate deletion.
It will be in my backyard or
my battleground.
My battleground. Yeah, it's actually in his backyard.
Yeah, it will be.
So that's fantastic. That I would love to see that at Mania.
Yeah, we're getting ultimate deletion at Mania.
Oh, and I hope it's going to be absolutely insane.
Say, write Matt Hardy a check.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what seems fair. $150,000.
You don't need that much, dude. You don't
give him $100,000.
Yeah, okay.
Give him a week at the compound. With a camera crew, give him Jeremy Borash for that week.
Yeah.
Create a masterpiece.
Yeah, totally.
I want Sarsgaard.
Yeah.
I want that dilapidated boat.
Yeah.
I want fireworks. Some teleportation would be nice. What am I missing?
Oh, man.
We need Senior
Benjamin.
Benjamin,
of course.
We need Rebbe.
You need a riding mower.
Yes, we need Brother Nero.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind, like, you know, some of the, what was the tag team, Apocalypto?
Yeah, yeah.
Bring in some of the tag teams that were there.
Well, the
allude to the past. It's okay.
The unfortunate thing is they're all in Impact now.
Have a couple of...
Except like for they, Rock and
like
Roll
they,
Express.
Like they care. Have the tag team titles, like, washed up on the shore.
Oh, yeah, the from, ones they dumped from, in the
yeah,
in the
exactly.
Lake.
That's
a good idea.
That's good, man. Allude a little bit to the past.
Yeah.
Make this part of continuity.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it'd be great. Let's see here. Next up we had... Oh, Miz comes out, drops a pretty fiery promo. I've been here for 12 years. I'm the Miz.
Oh, because, Kurt, because Angle. Kurt Angle won't tell him who his opponent is in Mania.
Yeah, Kurt Angle. What
he said, whoever you face tonight might have some bearing on who you face at Mania.
Yeah, that was... Kurt Angle doesn't even know.
Like, doesn't know.
Yeah, even in
KJ. He's not creative, man.
He's not, dude.
So anyways, the man who walks out, it was a good promo.
Yeah, it was a good promo.
Is Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the match, Miz versus Seth Rollins. Great match. Rollins has really been putting on some stellar performances.
That's kind of his thing now, yeah, totally.
The last few weeks. Eventually wins, hits the Revolution knee, and then drops like, and then jumps three quarters away across the ring to deliver a frog splash.
Yeah, he literally flew a mile.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what it felt like, man, because everybody was like, there were commentaries freaking out. Commentary, what do you think about Coachman now? It's been about a month into it.
I miss Booker T.
Yeah, me too, big time. And I think that Corey Graves kind of like the honeymoon period, the, you know, when you first meet somebody and you're just kind of nice to them and then you
figure out,
is this guy like, do I respect this guy? Do
oh,
I
you
not
figure
respect
out what
this
kind
guy?
Of chemistry you may have. Or
yeah.
Yes.
Corey Graves just likes to, he likes to make fun of Coachman and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. Like one time, like early on, I think it was like the first or second week, Corey Graves said something like, have you ever played a sport, Coach? And Coach said, well, I was an All-American. Apparently Coach was an All-American at something.
Oh.
I don't know what. That's what he said, and there was no joke behind it. Corey Graves shut up pretty quick.
Wow.
Go ahead and look it up.
I'll look it up.
Because if he said that, or he was, yeah, something like that. But last night I noticed it a bit, because Coach is, I know he's still getting used to being behind commentary.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like he's not even up on who's on the roster. Like, sometimes he'll say things that are just, he's not nearly as bad because he's way more polished than Otunga.
Yeah.
But sometimes his, like, level of insight is Otunga-esque. He just doesn't really add much. But then I swear, every time I listen, I pay attention, he talks a lot. At least Otunga would disappear for entire lengths of time and, you know, leave the heavy lifting to Cole and Graves. But Coach talks a lot and says so little.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's going to get better with time. And he is solid in terms of his presentation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But sometimes it's like he doesn't even know who's on the roster. It's weird. And so, like, Graves will just make fun of him.
I can't see anything. This is just on Wikipedia, so who knows. But he played college basketball.
Okay, well, that's
McPherson
something.
McPherson College in Kansas.
You have to be something to play in college.
Yeah.
In any ranks of college, even at community college. So, I mean, good for him. Graves also had and I think it was during this, he had a great line last night where he was talking about how messed up this situation is for The Miz. And it was during the second match. So Seth Rollins goes over.
Seth is walking out of the ring. Finn's entrance. He comes in. Seth is like, I'm done with this.
Seth is so annoyed. Because, to be fair, Finn Balor's entrance is so obnoxious.
Yeah, and long.
If it's overlapping somebody, especially if it's overlapping somebody else's exit.
Yeah.
You know, he comes out there with that big smile on his face. And Seth's like, all right, you did, like, my music's supposed to be playing right now because
I just won this match.
I just went from pillar to pillar.
Yeah.
And you're coming out here, you know, looking cool and doing this and showing your abs and your amazing pecs and, like, everybody can see your bell end through your shorts and you look great.
Yeah.
And you're smiling and then you get up there and you do this godlike thing and everybody worships you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. So anyways, Finn is out there and then Finn is going to... The funny thing is, like, Corey Graves is beside himself. He was like, how is this even fair to The Miz?
Yeah.
And this isn't really an accomplishment for Finn Balor because The Miz just went through this grueling match with Seth Rollins.
I know.
And it totally makes sense. But he was like, he said something like, Daniel Bryan, he said that Kurt Angle isn't on that. I don't know what list he's talking about. He's like, Kurt Angle isn't that list. Daniel Bryan isn't on that list. Daniel Bryan isn't on any list. Well, actually, no, he's on the same list as me, but that's a different thing. meaning not cleared to wrestle because of concussions.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Freaking great line.
That's funny.
And he laughed at his
own joke.
I missed that completely.
Anyways, Finn comes out. Match starts. Miz Taraj gets right in the ring, attacks Finn. Ref calls the bell. Finn wins by DQ. Club comes out, makes a save. They all brawl. Angle shows up in the Titantron, says everybody else ejected from ringside. This match will restart.
Yeah.
Another long match. They said Miz put in over a half hour ring time last night.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, man.
I would imagine, I like that the IC title for a spell was the Workman title, And I really like if that's where it's going to be again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Universal title is doing whatever it's doing, and that's whatever. But for them to make the IC title, the implication here is that it's going to be Finn, Seth, and Miz.
Yes, at Mania.
At least in a triple threat.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to add... Do you think they're going to add Braun to that mix?
I don't know. Based on what happened later on, it seems like we're going to get Braun Elias at Mania.
That would be really weird.
Uh-huh.
That'd be really weird.
But also, here's another thing to consider is Miz...
God, Elias was in the main event, dude.
I know. Miz said during his promo that he's, 68 days away from becoming having the longest combined reign as Intercontinental Champion. I mean, it's entirely possible he holds on to that belt at Mania.
Yeah, it's possible.
And maybe drops at the next pay-per-view because Vince loves breaking records.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Or they can just revisit it in 6 months.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know.
They could always do
that. But he'll be about 20
days out. Yeah.
Days short, yeah.
23, yeah.
So another good match. Finn picks up the win with the coup de grace.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, Seth, of course, is watching backstage. He's interviewed by Renee Young.
He's nay impressed.
Officially calls out Miz at Mania for the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Finn does, too, in a backstage video.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Miz responded as well.
Okay.
To all that on a Raw Fallout video on the YouTube channel.
I like it. That's totally cool. I'm totally cool with that. That's good.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good stuff. Got to point this out. I know we already mentioned it, but we have to. The significance of the club actually helping out Finn Balor.
I know.
It's actually doing
showing
that.
Showing some
once.
Unity.
There you go. Perfect.
Wonderful. Next, Roman Reigns promo. We talked about that a lot at the head of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably his best promo work thus far. And hopefully the thing about Reigns is he's had high moments like this where he's looked good, the total package.
Yeah.
And then they'll drop the ball 1, 2, 3 weeks later.
I know, it's weird.
They need to continue this momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is the story they're going with, they need to keep with it and keep giving him material like this.
Yep.
That he can deliver with gusto and passion and get himself over.
I like it. I agree.
It'd be great if they just had Brock no show entirely until Mania.
Yeah. That'd be something else.
Mm-hmm.
What's Reigns going to do in the meantime?
Talk trash.
Just come out and talk crap.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it'd have to be, he'd have to add to it each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just starts dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, man.
Left and right.
Yeah. Maybe he goes to his farm in Canada and tries to confront them.
Right.
While Brock's out looking at his land.
You know what he should do? Roman Reigns should get Dana White on the phone. And be like, hey, I might be interested in coming to the UFC.
I know. But I want one guy. Who? Brock.
Brock Lesnar, exactly. But in the UFC for real. Real fighting.
Real fighting. There you go.
Oh, man. Yeah,
next.
No, something.
Braun iPhone promo. What?
What is Brock doesn't bring anything to the table, so he might as well not be there. Because I'm like, what would you really be losing?
I know.
Wonder what the next... Yeah, no, I like that because I'm thinking of that idea. That's a great idea. Like, have Roman Reigns.
Like, whatever the next UFC show is, Brock shows up to that.
You know what we
on
should
camera,
do?
Hey, that kind of stuff.
No, that's a great idea for you know the thing about the Dana White picture? I would so love to think that WWE, that Dana White is helping out WWE a little bit, like trying to get in on the work. I know that's not the case.
Yeah.
But if they're like, hey, Dana, we're trying to do this thing.
I know.
Could you post a picture of you
Triple
and Brock?
H calling him up.
Hey, Dana, can you call it a favor? Remember how we let Brock fight, even though he's still under contract with us? Yeah. Could you post a picture on social media?
Collect on that favor.
Exactly. Just post a picture of you and the big man out there in Vegas. Yeah, that'd be great. All right. Thanks, Dana.
Could be. Doubtful, but could be. Braun iPhone promo next. Calling Elias's music noise pollution.
Do you like how they applied the noise filter to the word noise when it popped on the screen? I didn't like that. I thought words are stupid.
Yeah, the words are stupid.
Words are stupid, ladies and gentlemen.
He promised a symphony of destruction tonight.
Symphony of destruction.
Next, Thebar versus Titus Worldwide. Best 2 out of 3 falls match. Only got the 2 falls.
I really loved when they got that first fall. And
yeah, man.
Sheamus running around giddy.
Yeah, they acted like
Sheamus giddy is like my favorite.
Acted like
Sheamus.
They just won the Super Bowl.
Oh, it was fantastic. I these guys together, like I mean, we said this a million times. They seem like they have so much fun together.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love them. I love T-Bar.
I think they're great.
Anyways, at the end, they give an interview. Or yeah, they won. They give an interview where they basically said, and I was wondering if somebody's going to come out and challenge them, because they basically said we've cleared everybody out.
Yeah, no, I thought that we'd hear say yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what I was hoping yeah. For. So they,
but we
you
didn't
know,
get that.
They've cleared everybody out. So what else is going to happen? I don't know.
It has to be Revival, right?
You would think, but then Revival's been calling out the club. So maybe they're going to have a number one contender match coming up?
Yeah.
Club versus Revival?
Yeah. Still have been nice just for Revival to come out to say, hey,
yeah,
you haven't beat us yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Next, Elias came out, dropped a promo,
mm-hmm.
another song. He's awesome.
Mm. Oh, my God, this is great.
His new shirt is finally passed the Rusev Day shirt, become one of the top sellers on WWE Shop. I read that yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
It just came out.
I know.
Wow.
People love Elias.
Dude, and his promo was great.
Oh, man.
He started talking about, you know, Braun calls my singing noise. No, the sound all of you people make is noise. Every word that comes out of Corey Graves' mouth is noise.
Great.
And you hear Corey Graves chuckle. Oh,
he said
man.
Every word that comes out of Corey Graves' stupid face,
stupid face,
is noise.
Oh, man. He was on one, dude. It was great. It was fantastic. Then, of course, he starts a song, and it's interrupted by Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Braun walks down the ring. Match. Elias gets DQ'd after he's destroyed by Braun, tries to crawl under the ring. Mm-hmm. Braun pulls him out. Elias has a fire extinguisher, shoots him in the face.
That was good. Again, I think they've been watching. Oh, wait, that episode didn't go up until this morning. So they might have seen the live Twitch version.
Yeah.
With Braun doing the fire extinguisher on Gronk.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be watching.
It seems that way.
One of those 100 people that are watching during the live broadcast of that.
Yeah, yeah. So they brawl up the ramp. Braun goes for a power slam through the announce table. Elias rakes Braun's eyes. Elias flees backstage. Braun follows. Elias runs away, kind of like in the parking area.
Mm-hmm.
A limo pulls up.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to commercial.
Yeah, we don't see who gets out of the limo.
But it's probably Triple H to Stephanie.
I mean, guess that's where we're
supposed to understand. Because Rondo's
already there. Yeah.
So the main event segment of the show, Triple H, Stephanie walk out to the ring. Again, saying they're going to clear the air with Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey. Stephanie demands that Kurt Angle apologizes for everything he said at Elimination Chamber. So they call out Kurt.
Double pneumonia.
Instead of Kurt, Ronda Rousey comes out.
She looked like a million bucks. This is the Ronda Rousey that I want to see.
And she carried herself.
She looked great. She had confidence. She had
she
a head
carried
full
herself
of steam.
Like she had been there for a long time.
I know. It was great.
It's like she got the opening night jitters out of her.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was an emotional experience for her, too. Finally, you know, I don't know if that was her real contract. Probably not. She probably signed that a long time ago.
Yeah, right.
But the symbolic nature of that.
Yeah, generally a contract isn't just a piece of paper with somebody's giant name on it.
I know.
Usually, I've signed a couple contracts in my day. And
I can't
remember
a contract where I signed just the first page of it. It's usually the last
right.
page you sign.
And my name usually isn't featured prominently in like 36 font.
No,
on the page.
Sometimes I have to write my own name into it.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh man.
Anyways, Ronda comes out looking great.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a mic. Kurt Angle comes out, says, "Ronda, hold on." Before she really has anything to say, comes down the ring. And says, you know, this is after you had Triple H says, not only, or Stephanie said, double pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Triple H spoke this whole time. It was all Stephanie.
Yeah, I think he did.
Kurt comes down and says, essentially, I have to keep this job.
Well, he said this. He said, the smartest move you've ever done. He said, coming to the WWE is the smartest thing you've ever done. You're going to love it here. But I need this job.
Yeah.
And the crowd started cracking.
I know.
Because that's Kurt's new thing. I need this job.
He's essentially Heath Slater.
Exactly. He said everything I said was a lie. I don't even remember what I said last night.
Yeah, I have double pneumonia. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So they obviously said, Kurt, either go back, you know, dig yourself out of this hole or you're fired.
Yeah.
Is the implication they said backstage to him.
Stephanie's like, all right, everything's good. And then Ronda said, hold on. You still need to apologize for slapping me.
And if you don't apologize, I'm going to rip your arm out of its socket. And she delivered that line with such conviction, and there was nary one jitter in her voice. And I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Keep it short. Keep it effective. Keep it intense.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
Yes.
That's absolutely how you do it. You can tell that this is Triple H's thing.
Oh, Brock without the K in text in the chat here says, don't forget the cameraman.
Oh, my God. That's right. So during Stephanie, I think when she went up there to apologize, she comes back with a head of steam and says, I'm very, very sorry. She apologized profusely. And then all of a sudden, I see the back of cameraman's head.
And then he realizes he must have been told in his headset that he's blocking the shot. And what did he say?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Steps down off the apron.
Right, exactly. Like, dude, we know that you messed up. You don't have to, you're making it worse by cursing.
Yeah.
Live on USA, although apparently now you can say the F word on USA.
So anyways, Stephanie gives her apology. Seems like everything's cool. Kurt Angle is kind of standing there milling about looking like this.
He has the goofiest, like, daydreaming. He's like, save my job. I'm going to shut up now. And what am I going to do after the show?
Stephanie gets out of the ring. Triple H acts like he's going to.
Yeah.
Takes a step back in and just cold cocks
just
Kurt.
Just decks him for no reason.
Just a quick bah.
There was no reason for that.
No, and this walks out of the ring. And
hey, this one's bip. This one's bup. Yeah. And he just, yeah.
It was great.
Dude, you're just making things worse.
Oh, it was awesome.
Just
though.
Made them worse.
He was so nonchalant about it. It was so great.
And the picture they snapped of this, and it's all over Twitter. It's great. Cultaholic had their video of their WTF moments from it. The title of the actual video is Triple H. Hold on a second. I got to look this up. Those guys crack me up. Cultaholic. Here we go. WTF moments. Oh, my God. They post too much. Let's see here. That was 3 days ago. What the heck?
What? No.
What's up?
I'm listening to you.
Oh, let's see. Oh, here we go. Triple H flattens pneumonia-ridden Kurt Angle. Because he's got double pneumonia.
Double pneumonia. I mean, yeah. If you've got double pneumonia, you should be in the hospital.
I know, exactly. Your lungs are all like...
Filled with fluid.
Filled with fluid, exactly.
It's not good. It's not a good situation.
Yeah.
Thus concluded Raw. Fun show. Be interesting to see where this all leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the coming weeks ahead in the road to Mania.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to this. This is really good. Really good stuff. Again, yeah, like Raw, it feels so... Like, I was noticing this. Like, Alexa Bliss, I sort of glossed over this a little bit. But her promo was so well... Like, her mastery of the mic cannot be understated.
Mm-hmm.
She is such... Talk about somebody who has grown as a performer who's been...
Oh,
apparently, she said relatively recently, I think... That when she showed up on SmackDown, because we both thought that she got called up a bit early.
Yeah, seemed that way.
And it was like, okay, she's going to be a bit player for a while till she figured. And they, you know, pushed her immediately. And from that time till now, there is no doubt in my mind she hangs with the best. She really does. I mean, the fact that she did a Twisted Bliss off the top of the pod.
I know.
That's balls, man. That's mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. That is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she gets on the mic and just kills it time after time.
I know.
I don't know, man. I mean, a lot of people, they focus on Bayley, on Sasha, on Charlotte, on Becky Lynch, because, and Asuka, of course, they're phenomenal wrestlers. But Alexa Bliss has been improving by leaps and bounds every single time out. It's really good stuff. But it just feels like the A show. That show was running, firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
It's great.
No, I was about to say, I fear that the WrestleMania card is going to be like 10 Raw matches and 3 SmackDown matches.
Yeah, man. I don't know. What do we got going for SmackDown? We got AJ Nakamura, probably Owens versus Sami Zayn.
And then you get the tag titles, and you got the U.S. title. And the women's title, so that's 5.
Tag titles, women's title, yeah. Tag titles probably be on the kickoff.
I hope not.
U.S. title probably be on the kickoff.
That will probably be on the kickoff.
Yeah. Women's title will be on the... I mean, if they do Charlotte, Becky Lynch, which is... They have to... That's what they have to do.
Yeah, they'll be on the main card.
I don't see Asuka going to SmackDown.
They'll be on the main card. Let's answer some questions. What do you say?
Okay.
Nicholas Grosskirth. Percentage-wise, how much of Roman's promo was work and how much was a shoot? I read that it was entirely scripted, I guess save for mentioning his family, because you mentioned that.
Well, again, that was what I read on internet somewhere,
right.
And I don't know where.
This whole thing, whether it started out as a work or not, who knows, but it's a work now.
Yeah.
But the promo itself was all the work.
When he came out there and said, the guys in the back aren't going to like this, and at the end he said, I'm going to go take my ass chewing like a man.
Work.
They're going to give him high fives.
Yeah, I know. Sort of like when Booker T goes on his podcast and saying he's challenging Corey Graves to a match at Mania or fight at Mania. Work.
Roman Reigns went back there and said, hey, Vince, we good?
Yeah! No, we're great! I know. We're excellent! I love you!
CM Punk finds insulting. If CM Punk were 10 years younger and came into current day NXT, would he be a Triple H guy?
Oh man. Yeah, probably. Probably.
I feel like it's, I don't know. I feel like they just don't, their personalities just clash.
I think he would be.
But who knows, you know, if CM Punk were 10 years younger and
his mindset would be different.
Yeah, came up in the independent scene as it has existed the last 10 years, it might be different.
I don't see him being any different really than like a Kevin Owens type, you know?
Maybe.
And he's like a big Triple H guy. Yeah. I kind of feel like there, I don't know, I see similarities there. Although there is a great interview, or the shoot interview with Kevin Owens before he signed, where he gives a story about CM Punk being kind of a prick backstage, back in the locker room at Ring of Honor.
Was that the one about
the shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Jonathan Reiner. How long will Lesnar's match at Mania be with Reigns? Are we leaning towards his Samoa Joe match or more of his epic with AJ?
It's going to be longer.
I'm going to say it's in between that.
It'll probably be about 20 minutes.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
This is an interesting question. Bronze grappling hook. How popular would wrestling be if people still believed it was real non-scripted fighting? How popular would wrestling be if people still believed it was real non-scripted fighting? I mean, if
they believed it?
I was reading, what's his name, David Shoemaker?
I don't know if they could believe it.
What's his name, the book you got me? The Masked Man one.
I think it's Shoemaker, yeah.
Yeah, and he says even back to wrestling's origins, people weren't completely convinced it was real. I don't think there's ever been a time where it was the unanimous opinion of the public that professional wrestling was real.
Yeah.
I don't think it was, I mean, beyond, I think, you know, back when they actually were doing Greco-Roman wrestling, you know, in arenas and stuff as sport, if people were entirely convinced, maybe back then. But once, you know, professional wrestling started taking the shape that we kind of know it now, even back then, people weren't entirely convinced.
I would speculate. So pro wrestling has its roots in carnivals,
mm-hmm.
traveling shows, and they'd have like plants in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect that because you're at a carnival, you suspect that, oh, this is, you know, the kids probably think it's real, but the adults probably know better.
Yeah.
You know, so I would think that, I don't know. I mean, I remember before, you know, before Vince outright said, no, this is all fake. You know, when I was a kid, I knew it was fake. My parents knew it was fake. I asked my dad, because he used to go out here. He always talks to us about going to the Memorial Auditorium in the 70s for big time wrestling with Pat Patterson and I forget the other names. And I was like, you know, it was fake back then. He was like, yeah, everybody knew it was fake back then, you know? So, and that was in the 70s.
King of Hoss style, Joshua, the dynamic Knight Martinez. Hey, friendos, what's more likely? Lashley coming out to challenge Brock, Roman, or Strowman after Mania? Roman, Strowman, and Brock in that order.
Roman, Strowman, Brock.
Like if Lashley shows up Raw after Mania. I said this last, or yesterday. Lashley shows up Raw after Mania,
mm-hmm.
beats down Reigns. Challenges him for a match.
Yeah, I could see that as being maybe most likely. Mm-hmm. You said Roman, Braun, Brock.
Yeah. Wait,
yeah.
Because I don't know if Brock's sticking around.
I'm trying to think of anybody else he'd like come out and challenge. He's a marquee name,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, my prediction on Lashley was starts out hot, doesn't win anything, and then falls into the upper mid card. He'll be like a Samoa Joe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then level a year guy. Or two, he'll move to SmackDown when WWE title over there.
Yeah, could be something like that. Yeah.
Swag Cold, do you think Finn should adapt the yes kicks and call them the real? Only after he does this first.
Yeah, dude, he needs to do more of this.
Well, he needs to do any of that.
Well, I know. I don't. They're never going to let him do that.
Yeah, probably not.
Especially these days. I mean, they changed Paul Cruz's name because of that.
Yeah. Well, it's the Big Joe Shea. Hey, friend knows. I need a question answered. I think it's likely that we'll see a triple threat match for the IC Championship at Mania between Miz, Balor, and Seth, but it's still possible that Braun Elias could join the match. True. If so, That would be the third and fourth five-way match in the last year, making the match way overused. My question to you guys is, if you had to book the perfect fatal five-way match using one wrestler from Raw, one from SmackDown, one from NXT, one from 205 Live, and one from New Japan, who would you have in the match and why?
This is so easy. This is so easy.
It's Finn, AJ, Adam Cole.
Uh-huh. Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, but who from 205 Live?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. I mean, he's got the biggest legacy from Japan, Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
It's not, doesn't really fit in
with, no, with
Bullet
that.
Club, though. Any of those guys, Bullet Club? Cedric, I mean, was Ring of Honor.
I know TJP trained with Nakamura. He worked in New Japan. He trained at the LA Dojo. But I don't know if he actually had any.
I mean, if how about this? If you just want like sheer, like, you know, out of placeness, because otherwise what are you going to do? Just put Jack Gallagher in there.
Yeah.
But with his like little rainbow stripe stuff.
Yeah.
His little umbrella. Yeah, 205, that's the problem, is 205 Live. Otherwise, yeah, that writes itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Next question.
I'm trying to find some people who... Oh, here we go.
This is a question you'll like. The uninvited ghost. Vince comes to you and tells you the ropes broke during the second to last match of the show.
Bad news. Ropes broken.
And all the spares can't be located.
We don't know where they are.
It's up to you to name and create the stipulation rules for a special type of match with no ropes.
Oh.
Maybe, how about this? You know, like a sumo wrestling match. They're in the ring, and there's, or you know, the ring, and then there's a circle that if you put someone outside the circle, you win.
Mm-hmm.
We have a similar type match where, since there's no ropes, you have to keep the match inside the ring, and okay, if the person goes outside the ring, they lose.
Yeah, I like this. Bring out the entire roster and have them be like true lumberjacks, where they saddle up here, and then if any of you whip somebody into them, they have to like, they like,
all right, that's good
or
too.
Something like that. That would be terrible. How to lose at video games. First time question asker. This past weekend countout, you mentioned Jeff Hardy and Ric Flair in their respective Raw ladder matches as examples of WWE's potential to create moments with a big upset. Oh, I'm sorry, big upset win for a hot crowd.
Yeah.
What other examples can you think of when WWE could have done something like this for the moment but didn't?
Fashion Police being the Usos on SmackDown.
Or another, yeah, that's a good one. He mentioned Santino Marella making the final two at Elimination Chamber 2012. Damian Sandow with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's first year or second year. Yeah, we were there.
It's the one Cesaro one, yeah.
Yeah, right. That was, I thought. Damian Sandow anytime. Damian Sandow cashing in on John Cena.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, he wasn't really the underdog, but anybody gets seen as the underdog.
Yeah, I know. Keegan Green, with Roman certainly winning the Universal Championship at Mania, who do you think will eventually take the title off of him? And what will the storyline be? His personal pick is Drew McIntyre, old Chosen One versus new Chosen One feud. It's a good pick. Braun, probably.
I mean, yeah. I'll say this. How about this? About Samoa Joe?
That'd be good, too.
He's a good strong heel to take it off of Roman for the first time. People would believe it.
Yeah. I hope they just put Roman in some interesting stories after he wins the title and just not have him hold that belt for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're going to try and make him the new Okada.
Mm-hmm.
Have that belt forever. The 6-inch Cyclops. Realistically, can John Cena and Undertaker have a match at Mania that stands as one of Taker's best, or is this destined to be another disappointing outing for the dead man? Probably the latter.
Well, I mean, the thing that Undertaker has going for him is that he wasn't exactly known as like a 5-star wrestling machine.
No.
End of an Era is one of our favorite matches of all time, maybe our favorite Mania match. But that being said, watching it literally hurt to watch him against Roman last year.
I know.
So, I don't know. I'm not expecting anything great. Let's see here. Anthony De Francesco. First time question. Power rank the top five matches. That doesn't work. The top five matches you would like to see at next year's WrestleMania.
AJ versus Finn versus Kenny Omega.
Yes. That's number one for sure.
Of course, that require Kenny Omega signing with WWE.
True.
That. Roman versus Braun for Universal Championship. Braun goes over.
No, man. Roman versus Seth versus Dean. Let's finally get our Shield triple threat.
There you go.
Can't believe you moved away from that one.
We've had that match did happen, just not a Mania.
Well, no, at Mania, biggest stage of them all. Who do you want to see Undertaker fight at 35?
Nobody.
Nobody. Interesting.
No.
Interesting. How about Undertaker versus Aleister Black?
No. I don't want Undertaker. I don't want Undertaker to wrestle this year.
Aleister Black versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, that'd be good. Brock Lesnar versus Nakamura.
Yeah, that'd be good. But then we're just going to be complaining about Brock Lesnar again.
No, that'd be his last match, though.
Okay.
He signed another one-year deal.
Fair enough.
And he's done.
Charlotte versus Asuka.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
It's a really good slate of matches.
Ronda Rousey versus Sasha Banks.
Ooh, that's a good one. By then, Ronda Rousey's a five-star wrestling machine.
Yes. Richard Nason. Anyone else notice the look of satisfaction that Elias gets on his face when everyone chants, "Walk with Elias"? Do you think he will stay in a heel role for a long time? How can they transition him to a face? It's talked about all the time. It's the heel. They get so popular, so over, because their heel work is so good.
He is so flat.
People can't help but cheer for him.
His reactions are so great, and that's one of them. When
was it last night he did this?
Yeah. I like when he assesses the crowd. He goes,
"Oh, I know.
Pretty good," but and then he runs them down.
I know, it's great. Broken Steve, that Roman promo last night was pure fire, and the majority of the crowd was really behind it. My question is, was last night's more edgier, passionate Roman the Roman we need to get we need him to be to get over? Yeah.
Well, yeah, dude, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Samantha Brunka. Loving Steven Larson books Raw.
Oh, thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
New episode went up this morning. With it taking CM Punk 4 GTSs and a dirty pin to destroy Pete Dunne. I love that we're now answering questions about our version of Raw. To destroy Pete Dunne, do you feel that the prestige of the move has been diminished? In our universe?
Guess so.
Maybe. I mean,
finishers aren't really protected in our universe.
Or, you know, Pete Dunne is being booked just that strong.
Could be.
You know, he can eat 4 GTSs. She says, also, if you have time, power rank the top moves that used to be kick-ass finishers, but are now just run-of-the-mill. Number one, attitude adjustment.
Oh, yeah.
He can't get a win on an attitude adjustment on the ground floor anymore.
DDTs.
He has to go to, oh, yeah, the leg drop.
Mm-hmm.
The leg drop.
Even a powerbomb now.
Even a powerbomb is just sort of normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenneth Rosado, on paper, Sheamus is one of the most accomplished wrestlers ever, King of the Ring, Money in the Bank, and Royal Rumble winner, and won pretty much every belt in WWE. Power rank wrestler who, despite having many accolades, you wouldn't consider one of the all-time greats.
Christian! Yeah, that's my pick. Christian, who's the other one?
Sheamus is good. That's a good answer.
Sheamus is a great answer. Who is... would you consider Diesel one of the all-time greats? He held a lot of belts.
Yeah, but no. We should do a count out one day of the 10 greatest WWE champions ever. That'd be some good arguments.
Yeah.
Making that list.
Somebody mentioned Bronze Grappling Hook mentioned that apparently YouTube has a new poll feature.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And he
used for Matt Chat who won the debate. That's
yeah,
a good idea.
Man, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we were talking about someone else the other day.
Christian and somebody else that was a Grand Slam champion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, like Kane. Kane's won every belt. But
he's one of the all-time greats. Oh, absolutely, man.
I don't think I'd put him in top 25.
Kane's creative has always been, but for his first 10 years, is really good.
Yeah. Luger. Very accomplished.
Oh, my God. He's had so many titles.
But not one of the all-time greats.
Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how accomplished he is. Hold on a second. Grand Slam.
List of Grand Slam champs, right?
Champions.
It was Christian. It was...
Christian was one other one. Let's see if the chat has it. Dolph. It was, yeah, we're talking about Christian and Dolph.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really consider Dolph one of the all-time greats.
No, but he's won a ton of titles.
Yeah, he has.
All right, you ready for play per view?
Oh, Brock says DDP. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, get out of here with that, man.
DDP is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, he is the greatest.
Oh, yeah, what are we doing for play per view?
Let's just run through a bunch of WrestleManias. Do you want to do WrestleMania 1 and 2?
Yeah, okay.
And next week we can do 3 and 4.
Let's start with 2 and 3 because I feel like I probably know 1
right.
and 2.
All right. All right.
Let's do 2. I'll do 3, you do 2.
Okay.
Okay. We have to tell
the people. 3 has a lot of cards, a lot of matches on the card, I should say. Sorry. Well, this has 12, so.
What is pay-per-view?
We quiz each other on the results of past pay-per-views.
That's the best. Like, you say that so succinctly, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You're very efficient with your words, my friend.
Thank you. Doesn't happen very often.
Results. All right. How many? So I've got
12.
You have Jesus. I have 12 as well.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right, here we go. Play.
Play. Preview. I'll go first.
All right.
First match. Of course, this is WrestleMania 2 when the show took place in three locations around the country.
Yeah.
First four matches from the Nassau Coliseum in Long Island, New York.
Hey-o.
First match, the Magnificent Morocco and Paul Orndorff. Oh, sorry. I thought it was a tag match, but it's not. Paul Orndorff versus the Magnificent Morocco.
Okay. I'm going to say Morocco.
Double count out.
Okay, fair enough.
So I was reading straight from here.
That's good.
It messed me up.
The Can-Am Connection, which is the team of Rick Martel and Z-Man, Tom Zank.
Yeah, yeah.
Against Bob Orton and the Magnificent Morocco.
I'll go with Can-Am Connection.
You're correct. They won.
Next, singles match for the Intercontinental Championship. George the Animal Steel versus Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage. A six-man tag match. The Haiti Kid, Hillbilly Jim, and Little Beaver versus King Kong Bundy, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook.
I'll go with King Kong Bundy's team.
Wrong.
Damn.
However, King Kong Bundy might have been looking strong because they lost, but by DQ.
Oh, okay. Next, singles match, George Wells versus Jake Roberts.
George Wells versus Jake Roberts.
Jake the Snake won.
Mm-hmm.
In a loser must bow match. Must bow.
Yeah.
JYD.
Yeah.
Junkyard Dog versus Harley Race. Harley Race had Bobby Heenan in his corner, so I'm assuming Harley Race was the bad guy.
I'm going to go with JYD.
No, Harley Race. Apparently JYD had to bow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Next, Roddy Piper versus Mr. T in a boxing match.
Oh, I don't know. T won by DQ.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good job.
In a tag team match, the Rougeau brothers.
All right.
Jacques and Raymond. Versus the Dream Team. No, not the 1992 Michael Jordan-led
Olympic basketball team.
In fact, this was actually Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine, and apparently they had with them Dino Bravo and Johnny Valiant.
I'll give it to the Dream Team.
Yeah, the Dream Team won.
Yeah.
High expectations.
Next, Velvet McIntyre versus the Fabulous Moolah for the WWF Women's Championship.
What a great name, but Fabulous Moolah won. She didn't drop that thing.
In less than 90 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. In a hair versus hair match, Adrian Adonis versus Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Piper.
Piper won. Very good.
Next, Nikolai Volkoff versus Corporal Kirshner.
Volkoff.
No.
Okay, Corporal Kirshner. Okay. In a six-man tag team match, Dangerous Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation versus the British Bulldogs and Tino Santana.
I'll go with the Bulldogs and Tino.
No.
Damn.
Dangerous Danny Davis and Bret Hart.
Next, there was a WWF versus NFL Battle Royal. Who won?
NFL.
No, I need an individual person.
Oh, Refrigerator Perry.
No, Andre the Giant. Won by last eliminating Bret Hart.
Which one are you doing too?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, he really made strides. He won that and then he went on to WrestleMania 3, the main event.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Yeah, we'll see if you know that one in the final.
I'll try to jog my memory banks for that one.
In a singles match, Coco Beware versus Butch Reed.
Coco Beware.
No, Butch Reed.
Damn. Next. Tag team match for the tag team championships. The Dream Team.
Is this the Michael?
Same one?
Okay.
No, yeah, Brutus and Greg Valentine versus the British Bulldogs.
British Bulldogs.
Yeah.
For the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, I know that one. Steamboat.
Very good, yeah.
Steamboat versus Hercules Hernandez.
What, you have two?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll say Steamboat.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he fell out of favor really quick.
Yeah, I guess so.
Singles match. Jake Roberts versus the Honky Tonk Man.
Is there a title on the line?
No.
I'll go with Jake.
Honky Tonk Man.
Wow.
And Jake Roberts even had Alice Cooper with him.
Wow. Uncle Elmer versus Adrian Adonis.
It's got to be Adrian Adonis.
Yeah, man.
I've never heard of Uncle Elmer.
Man, I'm not doing too well.
In a tag team match, not for titles, the Killer Bees, B. Brian Blair and Jim Brunzel versus the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov.
I'll go with Killer Bees.
No, Iron Sheik. Why would he have such a beef with B. Brian Blair when he went over?
I don't know. Next, Hoss Funk and Terry Funk versus Junkyard Dog and Tito Santana.
I'll say the Funks.
Yeah.
And finally, in a singles match for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship.
Hogan.
The champion, Hulk Hogan, versus the winner of the NFL versus WWF Battle
Year
Royal.
Prior, which maybe earned him the title shot. I don't know.
Andre the Giant. Yeah.
Hogan. Main event, King Kong Bundy versus Hogan.
Hogan.
In a cage match.
Nine, baby.
That's good.
Nine.
You did well.
Yeah. All right.
Good Anyways, job.
That was very fun. Let's get some out music here.
Yes.
Out
shall we?
Music. There we go. Thank you, Hilton. Anyways, good to have you back, pal. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.